At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. Save 20% at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast, where we are about to embark on the journey of a lifetime. It's season four, back at it again, and there's a lot to talk about. I have a lot of feelings, so I'm not even going to bury the lead. It's happening. I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I am your host, Puya, the detective, Zan Vakili, and as always, I'm not alone. I've got my partner in crime with me here, ready to console me and hopefully be as mad as me. We've got Liana the Salmon Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Swimming upstream, baby. You know me. Because I'm a salmon. Get it?
You proud of
yeah,
that one?
Yeah, I'm real proud. So Masked Singer premiered. We watched it live last night. Sorry, Big Brother. Yeah. But this was the first time I was super excited about watching an episode of reality television in a little while. Again, thanks, Big Brother. And I had a great time. You know, I have a few things to complain about, but honestly, all in all, this is a stellar cast. I had much more fun than you did. You sort of were upset all night and this morning. So we can get into exactly why, but you know what? Masked Singer is back and I'm having a great time.
Yeah, this was the first time that we've watched Masked Singer live together as well, like in person. And then it was also the first time where we watched it not separate, because usually in preparation for the podcast, we'll watch the episode separate so that we can take notes. But we're like, it's the premiere. Let's do this, and then we can just do a rewatch for our notes later, which is what we did. Here's the thing. I had a good time. I had a very good time. The reason I'm mad is because I'm passionate. It's because I have opinions. And I think that some people were overlooked for other people, and some people got to the next round because of their stupidity, and I'm still not over the wound that the White Tiger like blew wide open last season, and I feel like it happened to me again. But it's fine.
I know. You know, it's I know. But look, you got to watch I Think I Can See Your Voice. So.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that. we'll talk about that at the end, just to make sure we don't lose anybody along the way. But that's definitely a thing that also happened and definitely an hour of my life that I do not regret spending somewhere.
No, I think you do regret.
Spoiler alert.
Or did you enjoy it? I thought you didn't like it. Oh, well, you know what? Whatever. We're going to lose people. Let's stick on Masked Singer topic.
That was it, like deep sarcasm.
Oh.
So, yeah. Okay. So anyways, no. Let's just move on. So Masked Singer season four starts and like we get like the opening vignette with all the different singers and everything. How did you like that?
It was exciting, right? Because this is sort of the typical intro that we usually get. We get to see the costumes, they're always animated. I thought it was really weird to then go to the CGI stage thing that was like on top of the building. That seemed like an odd choice because then I was like, oh, maybe they're going to keep it that way to avoid having to show an empty stage, because obviously they can't have an audience, but that was not to be, because eventually they just, you know, with the magic it went away and we actually saw some people in the audience, which this is the one thing I have to complain about, which is the fact that they had an audience. I assume that it was the production crew, but I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly who these people were. But they did have people, because initially when we came in and they had the whole thing edited like it was on top of a skyscraper, I thought, okay, this is how they're going to mask that there's no audience. Mm-hmm. And then that went away and there was people, which was very unsettling. This is a thing we heard them say. We heard Nick say specifically, which I need to get your take on right away.
They'll be voting along with our panel and studio audience for their favorite singer of the night.
That's in reference to people from home. So to what I'm understanding, we're going to have three types of people voting to them, right? So we have the studio audience, we have the at-home audience, and then we have the judging panel.
I mean, that's what I guess it's always been at least the original articles when we read about the Masked Singer, it was always 50% up to production, essentially. So, you know, I don't know necessarily how much it matters, but I guess and we got some questions I know about this in the Patreon group, but my biggest complaint is the fact that they wanted to go complete escapism and just pretend like you're watching a regular show, because they were able to just make cuts and clips to make it look like the entire stadium was full. With the exception of, I guess, the judges, you know, Nick Cannon is like standing right next to the contestants. And I get that, again, they have these like big masks on. But I didn't like it, because I can understand why they would want to do the escapism, right? It's a tough time right now. Everybody's struggling, but this is real. And I think you can still acknowledge that this is something that's going on. I think Dawn posted the article from the Hollywood Reporter about this, but essentially the show's production team purposefully avoided mentioning COVID-19 at all. And I really, really, really don't like that, because maybe because it's Fox. Like, COVID-19 is real. Wear your masks and social distance, or people will die. Like, not to be like too much of a downer, but freaking A, Masked Singer. I really don't appreciate it. And I think that that's the biggest qualm that I have with the show at the moment, is just that frustration with them being unwilling to acknowledge that COVID-19 is real, because I think it puts everything in context. Like, Big Brother is willing to acknowledge it, so I feel like the Masked Singer can too.
Yeah, well, what's it called? Yeah, the one place that it did come up, COVID came up, was in the after the unmasking series that they do on YouTube, which is like a 3-minute video with the person eliminated. So that isn't saying much, because it wasn't on prime time, right? Here's my thing, is that you already have the audience at home. Why not acknowledge them, A, and then B, you don't need the in-studio people at that point. I just feel like,
just do it like they're on the building.
It was not well thought out, but also given that we know how quickly they wanted to like push this out, I don't think they fully thought this all the way through.
I think it was thought out. I think just I disagree with the choice that was made, because if you watch it, it really does feel like you are just watching the show as per usual. It definitely doesn't feel like there's any component that is, again, apart from the judges really being separated. But I was like, well, they did show the at-home audience at least, but I thought it would be kind of fun, because apparently during the recording, people had to react, and it'd be fun to like show the Zoom reactions. I don't know. I was actually looking forward to that. I thought it could be really cool, but, you know, they chose to go this direction. I personally don't agree, but, you know, whatever.
Well,
like, it's fine.
No, even the at-home audience, if you paused on that screen, there's like repeats all over the place. It's not like,
well,
it's
yeah,
like,
they do that.
Yeah, they're still doing that, which I think is ridiculous. But you know what? That's not important, as important as what we're about to do here, which is break everything down that went on in this premiere episode. So first and foremost, Nick Cannon's diamond shoes are back. So, you know, the $2.4 million isn't going to show itself off. That happened.
Woo!
Mm-hmm. We're really trying to go out of our way to pretend the pandemic isn't happening. You already have talked about that at length. We'll move. So there was a moment where the judges were praising the costumes or something, and it pans over to Nick Cannon, but it's like the back of his head, and he says, "No wonder we won an Emmy for our costume design." And it's so clearly a soundbite added in post, because that did not happen until after the show had finished filming. So I wanted to point that out.
I love that it was so obvious. They like didn't even try at all. It's fabulous. Yeah. But you know what? Good on them. Like, the, you know, they did win, so they should mention it.
Mm-hmm. And I need to get your take on this. So the judges are back. Everything is normal, but this is something that you pointed out in the first episode in the preview.
And Robin Thicke and his luxurious quarantine hair. Yes.
How did you feel about that?
At least someone is acknowledging that quarantine is a real thing, even if it is through the fifth judge of the Masked Singer panel, his hair. I'm going to grow to love it. So thank you, Robin Thicke, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say.
Yeah, for someone who probably to me has the best guesses on the panel, would have guessed that his hair would be the worst of the four. Not me. But
not me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just move right through into the first performer of the evening. And why don't you take it away talking about the sun here?
Ooh. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So the sun was someone who, at least I thought from the preview episode, was going to be the Olympian, because their clue from the preview episode was the sun knows how to shine like a torch even during the freezing winter, which, okay. Unless, I mean, maybe this is an athlete, but I really don't think so based on the clue package. I think this is someone who's a seasoned performer. There's someone who, you know, we had the references to like the Mickey Mouse Club, the Frozen reference, which then I was like, oh, shine like a torch even during the freezing winter. Right. So that's like the Frozen reference. I thought she was a phenomenal performer, and I'm so happy that I drafted her on my team.
Yeah, I think you got a bargain pick, a good pick here, the sun. And I also agree that the Disney clues did stick out to me upon the rewatch last night. So I do think it's someone from that world for sure, especially with the subtle, you know, adding the subtle Mickey Mouse ears to things. That was a Disney Channel trope. I don't know if they still do it now, but that was definitely a thing that I noticed. The sun did come out to Walking on Sunshine, which is very on the nose, very on brand for what the Masked Singer does. And I'm also no longer in the camp that this could be an Olympian, whereas I thought it was a slam dunk that this was going to be our Olympian. But yeah, we had a couple of good clues here. But let me preface this by saying I'm about to read some of these and I don't know who this is. Okay. I do not know who this is. So the Fun Director Gold member is a thing we saw. They talked about Extreme Seasons. They sprung into existence in the center of the universe. Stardom was great. In the darkness, they were transformed into a ray of light. There was like a leopard jaguar thing at the end of the video. And then I want to talk about how these were all like the clues this week. And I think moving forward are all going to be animated, because I'm assuming, given the COVID-19 of it all and the, how quickly they turned this season around, they couldn't just have props made in time of like, oh, okay, so here is a gold card that says fun like director on it, and here's a swimming pool with people. They didn't have time for any of that.
Right. So, part of me is, of course, a little disappointed, because these packages are ways for them to show off the costume a little bit more. Also, because I think I had cracked the code in terms of if it was a physical clue, it matters more. But I understand the limitations that they're under. And if this was something that they had to go with the animated clues in order for us to have the show, totally fine by me. And to be honest, at the beginning, I kind of didn't even notice. I was like, oh, parts of them are animated. And then I realized, oh, no, all of it is animated. So clearly, like, I, you know, maybe that says more about me not paying attention to the television show that I'm watching. But I thought that this was totally fine. I'm still going under the guise of the fact that I think the physical, right, the animated clues, I think, are more important. That's why I like the Mickey Mouse reference, when they had the earth and it had the trees and then it like went to the shadow and it really looked like the Mickey Mouse ears. I'm really like holding on to that. So totally cool with the animated clues.
Yeah. And then we went right into the performance, and damn, imagine my whole thought process of this is an Olympian. And then we get to that performance and I was floored. This was by far my favorite opening performance we've had for any season so far, without conversation, without a doubt, easy pickings. And yeah, there was they did Lizzo's song. What's the name of the song?
Because I Love You.
Okay, I did have written out Because I Love You. Yeah, so the vocals were on point. I love the hot sun background thing that was kind of like scorching, I guess is what I would call it. It looked amazing. And all the notes were hit for me. This was a very, very easy and great performance to start the season with, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think the Peacock's This Is the Greatest Show performance will always just be emblazoned in my mind, because I remember watching it for the first time. It was like January. Nothing was on. Sure, we'll check out this Masked Singer show. And I was blown away by his performance. Now, that being said, this is definitely a close second. And I think if this was the first one, it would absolutely supersede what the Peacock did. Because, I mean, wow, she had such a command of the stage. There were no backup dancers. So, you know, no need to distract us, because a girl could hold it down. I should have seen the writing on the wall when she was the first performance, because they're not going to start off the show with someone who's not that good. So I should have.
Should I redirect you to the White Tiger last season?
Okay, but the the wait, was the White Tiger really the first performance?
The first one out the gate was White Tiger.
No way.
Yes, I can go confirm this right meow.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah,
I like kind of refused to believe. Oh no, you're right. And it was Ice Ice Baby.
Yes. And that was okay, after the flipping Super Bowl. We got robbed for that.
It was Rob. Yeah, but that's because of who it was in the costume. I think so. Sorry, spoiler alert. It's Rob Gronkowski. But anyway, because who started off? Let's see. Oh, it was Butterfly versus Egg. Okay, yeah, Butterfly. That was a strong performance in season two. So, okay, fine. Season three is the anomaly. All right. But anyway, so yeah, look, again, super solid. So happy that she's on my team. I think she's going to go deep in the competition. We do know, again, from that same Hollywood Reporter Masked Singer article, that the way it's going to work is we have these three groups, and then the top two from each group are going to move on to the semifinals. So maybe at the end, we can predict who we think the top two are going to be that are going to make it out. But I personally believe that she's one of them.
I think that she's the front runner. Of this six, personally, I think
I agree.
Yeah, and I think that it's not close, personally as well. Again, but no, I think that she did an incredible job, and I'm very curious to learn more about the sun, because I would like to think I can figure out who this is. But right now, all I've got is like that Disney shortlist is going to start happening, and also I wasn't mad at the. So let's go to the judges' guess. I wasn't mad at the looking at it and thinking, oh, it could be Catherine McPhee. I don't think it's Kat McPhee, but I do think that she's someone who I expect to see on the show 100% at some point. And then Jenny went with Demi Lovato and Ken Jeong went with Madonna. If you're new here, if this is your first time listening to us, Ken Jeong does this all the time. This is not an anomaly. Ken Jeong is pretty much there to make very awful guesses as if they're the obvious guesses. So just take that with a grain of salt every time you see it, and it'll be better. I promise. And then what did you think about the new thing, the golden ear coming through here?
I think it's fine. I think it's cool. I think it reminds me very much of the B&B. So, wow, way to steal our idea, Masked Singer, where Mike and I write our predictions. And then we, for each of the contestants for a Survivor or a Big Brother season, we seal it up, lock it in a vault. And then when they are voted out, we read our predictions. So this is sort of their version of that, which I like it. I'm here for it.
I think we've talked about it. We want to kind of get involved with doing this golden ear thing as well. It'll be interesting to look back at. So how should we set it up going into this season?
Okay. Here's what we should do for our own golden ear predictions. I think we do it just like the show. So right now we'll stop down. We'll write down our guesses. We'll lock them up in a vault, and then we'll go on. We'll have our discussion. We'll give some guesses, and then we can look back and we can say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you picked so-and-so. I think that's the way that we should go about it, just like the show.
Okay. I'm down to give it a shot. I don't know how well I'm going to fare in this kind of game. Maybe I'll lose a golden ear trophy, but that's fine. It'll be fun for entertainment purposes, I hope.
I think it's going to be fun to find out who the Steve Buscemi of this season is for you. That's really what I'm looking forward to. I don't want that payoff now. I want that payoff later when it's like, what were you even thinking?
Well, quick question. Does guessing an eliminated person count? Do I have a point right now?
Okay. So yeah, no, that's a great question because like I didn't make a guess. I think I remember I was probably thinking like DMX or something like that. So I would be wrong. So maybe like the first person from each group, we're just going to have to automatically eliminate. Right. Because like we didn't have time to do it, or maybe for the next, whatever, you get a point. It's fine.
Yay. It's fine. Okay, good. Cause like,
okay.
We'll talk about it when we get there. We'll talk about it when we get there. That's like the fourth, fifth right. performance. It's fine.
Yes. Okay. So the sun. So I think based on the Mickey Mouse and the Frozen references, I definitely think it's someone who like initially, especially because she talks about, oh, I've had, you know, when I first came into the spotlight, the fame was really intense. And then she kind of, you know, went away for a while, which I feel like is the story of a lot of the people that we see on The Masked Singer. But I think she was someone who became famous when she was younger for something related to like Mickey Mouse, like the Mickey Mouse Club, or maybe like a Disney Channel series or a Disney Channel original movie. Then I think she had a resurgence with Frozen. Mm-hmm. The only thing I was thinking about with that, though, is like Frozen is Disney. So what if that's actually all tied into like one clue? Yeah. But I think I'm going to go with my original theory first. I think she's someone from like the Disney Channel world or like the Mickey Mouse Club. That's my thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. My problem is that I don't know enough about the Mickey Mouse Club and the Disney Channel. So I have a very surface level knowledge of what artists come from that world. So like my shortlist already starts with like three or four people and they're all fairly famous. So I don't know because spoiler alert, because we talked about this on the show last week where I thought coming into this season, we're going to have the biggest names we've ever had. I thought this was going to be the big season where like, oh my God, everyone's a big celebrity. I no longer think that based on the article and reading that they kind of had a hard time, you know, roping people into this season. I no longer think that's the case, which is sad because I'm telling you, my guess is going to be someone who is not really all that and is not really big, big famous. So, I think I just word salad it a little bit. My guess is someone who's extremely famous. So I don't think it's going to be the case, but I've got to vault it and it's fine. It is someone from the Disney world.
Ultimately. Wait, you do think it's someone famous?
Yeah. No, I don't. But my knowledge is so shallow that I'm making a educated guess based on the clues. I don't think it's going to be the person I have guessed, but I think it's going to be close to the person I've guessed based on background.
Okay, so I'm going to throw out some people I was thinking for the Mickey Mouse Club. Or like that were on the Mickey Mouse Club that I think it could be. So obviously like the Britney Spears's and the Christina Aguilera's of the world, like I don't think it's someone like that. Do we know if Carrie Russell can sing? Because she's like relatively famous. She could be someone we could see on the show. I don't know about that. I think another person, I was looking at trying to look at female singers from the Mickey Mouse Club. Oh my God. Or what about who is not Raven Simone's friend from That's So Raven? What's her name? Chelsea something. Was she in Frozen? I think Frozen is actually maybe the best place to start because I think it also could be like someone from Broadway that like did the Broadway version of Frozen. The only thing is that like I looked up some of the names of those people and I'm not entirely sure. Like, I didn't immediately recognize some of the people. So I don't know, like, Cassie Levy, maybe. She is a Broadway person. She was in Frozen. I don't know. There's nobody who, like, I have a guess. So there's nobody who, like, immediately stands out to me. I think, though, it's definitely, I feel really strongly, though, that it is somebody involved with either Frozen or the Mickey Mouse Club and or both.
So here's the thing for me. I don't think this is Christina or Britney. I think they are way too big of names for this conversation at all. And I also don't think that it's going to be big, big name celebrities, unlike my guest from last week. It doesn't sound like they had the time to bring together an elite group. And I don't think they had the big people didn't want to come around this time is what I'm thinking. So I definitely think it's in the Disney realm. I don't think the Frozen thing is something we should be focusing on, because I think that's one of the red herrings where they want you to look at the main Frozen people. I think that ultimately the Frozen thing is just another nod to Disney. So looking at it, then it's like, okay, well, you know, you've mentioned the Mickey Mouse Club. You've mentioned like performers in that realm. I think it's someone in the Disney world. However, my knowledge bank on the Disney world is a little bit shambolic. So we like the Cheetah Girls were Disney, correct? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I don't think it's them, because we've pretty much had them on the show. And then I've looked at it, and there's like High School Musical, and then there's some people now that are involved. So my guess is in that High School Musical range of knowledge. So like think 2000s knowledge. So like, you know, Ashley Tisdale isn't out of the picture for me. Miley Cyrus isn't out of the picture for me really, but kind of is.
No, there's no way. I really don't think it's the two of them.
Yeah.
I think it's someone older also. The other thing too with the Frozen thing is I think that it could be someone who like wrote songs for Frozen, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be a performer. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen this before where it's like, oh, they were, you know, like the Tina Turner reference, like spoiler alert, I don't think popcorn is Tina Turner, but they talk about like, it could be somebody who maybe wrote music for Tina Turner or like covered her song. So Frozen could also be the same way, where it's something that isn't one of the main performers, but they are tangentially related in some way, which is why I actually thought Broadway, but it could be even more obscure than that.
Yeah. And I think that the other thing is that leopard at the end, or the cheetah thing at the end, that's supposed to be a nod to the Cheetah Girls. I think this is 100% in the Disney world. I just don't feel strongly that I'm going to get it. I have a guess locked up. I have a feeling it's not it, but also I feel like it's a semi-popular guess otherwise. So we'll see what happens.
It was definitely a leopard, not a cheetah.
Okay.
Or it was definitely not a cheetah.
I wrote down leopard.
You have to go back and look.
Yeah, I wrote down leopard in my notes.
Jaguar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I know my leopards, but I think it's like a side nod, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, yeah, I guess they'd done that kind of stuff before. It felt like with that and then the tiger and one of the other clue packages that they like paid for video or something of like animals, like cats, like big cats.
Yeah,
and so they like edited in. Yeah, why are these in both places?
Can I just pause for a second and be like, hey, TV universe, the Tiger King stuff was in March. We've moved on. Like, you don't need These are such outdated references. And like, you know, now Carol Baskin's on Dancing with the Stars. Yeah. And we got clues here. Like, we don't need this. None of us are like Jones in for this. Fine. Whatever.
We've seen a lot of crossover with Dancing with the Stars. So, I mean, obviously it's not Carol Baskin because she is on Dancing with the Stars. But it's part of the Fox reality TV synergy world.
Yeah. No, big time. Okay, so is there anything left under the sun that you want to explore?
No, it's pretty cold.
Okay. I would like to make a second prediction and be like, you have the point against me for the sun. I don't know what your guess is, but I have a feeling it's going to trounce my guess.
No way, because even if it's like in the same realm, it doesn't matter. It has to be the right person. Like, I'm expecting to get maybe one point.
Like overall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've gotten lucky like twice other than once tonight with the dragon.
I think if it's someone that you immediately recognize the voice of, then it's like, okay, yeah, I'm definitely getting this point. But for someone like the sun where I have to really go through all the clues, mm-hmm. No way I'm getting it.
Yeah. If you,
I'm not that smart.
If you can nail someone outside of the clues completely and just off notes, that's where you're going to get your points most likely.
Because I think that's how you got Turtle also. No, you got Frog.
The Frog, the robot. Yeah. No, I got the Frog off the first clue, actually. Notes. And then the robot was through voice. And then the Fox was through, well, we had guessed someone else for the Fox. And then the Fox ended up being who we wanted. And the Rottweiler was mm-hmm. also voice as well.
Yeah.
Look at me doing decent. Okay, whatever. But enough patting me on the back. You couldn't pat this animal on the back because the back's too long. It's the giraffe coming through. So how's that for a segue?
That's not, they have long necks. I mean, yeah, they're tall, but yeah, they don't have like long backs.
Well, also to give a little bit of an inside scoop, this is the earliest we've recorded a Masked Singer podcast ever.
Yeah, so you're really like out of it. I'm such a morning person. I love this.
Yeah, I'm a morning person.
And it's also 11 a.m.
That,
by the way, it's not early.
don't dox like that. I'm a morning person in the sense that I love my morning coffee. You can't start the day without it. I like sitting here with the coffee, doing my catch up on the internet. So this is, we're catching up on the internet right now. So technically it should count.
This is like your son. No. Meanwhile, I've been working morning shifts. I've already would have been at work for like 6 hours. So
yeah, well, I saw that
I'm
you had what? Engaged in the family group chat at 5 a.m. I was like, okay.
I was up at 5 this morning.
What is you doing? Okay. You know what?
Sorry.
No, it's fine. You're reaching for the stars and I appreciate that about you.
Just like the giraffe.
Exactly. So here comes the giraffe, walks out to Super Freak. That was my favorite part of the giraffe, was coming out to Super Freak. Love that tune. So the giraffe's clue package is centered around like a carnival theme. We had like the step right up, and the giraffe has had a roller coaster career. Music is the giraffe's life. They took a risk and were ridiculed, and that caused them to feel in knots and feel lonely. And then they through hard work, they had towering success, and now they're in the driver's seat, and that's a wrap.
I feel like there are a lot of good clues here. We can talk about it when we get to our guesses, but there seem to be a lot of details here that I think partially because the giraffe, I mean, personally, I think the giraffe should have gone home this episode, but I don't think the giraffe is long for the Masked Singer world. So I think that's probably why we're getting a lot of clues. And then the one from last week was, or from the preview episode, was, you should know I share something in common with a powerful giant, which I think is sort of an interesting clue.
Yeah, I do think that the giraffe is giving us a lot of nuggets, which could spell the giraffe's demise coming like through next season, next episode even. But for the meanwhile, let's get into the performance, because I'm not happy with how last night went. And this has been very obvious to anyone who has follows me on Twitter or heard what I was alluding to. So let's talk about the good parts of this performance. So first of all, let's get it started by Black Eyed Peas. Classic banger. So that's fine. The background is all these frames with the giraffe in them. It's like pictures of the giraffe. So I'm starting to think maybe it's someone who's like a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky. He's got pictures of themselves on the wall kind of thing. Okay. As a rap, this was not a great performance at all. This is not a hard song to do, and I feel like the giraffe was struggling to do it. There was one part of the song that I did like, and that's when the beat changed, and I thought that transition was nice, but I was not about it. It was a razzle-dazzle song without enough razzle-dazzle to make it work for me.
Well, there were backup dancers, so obviously very much going for the razzle-dazzle of it all. I agree with you here. I thought that the giraffe was the worst of the bunch. And when the singing, I thought the giraffe though was a better singer than rapper, because when there were the singing parts, I do feel like the giraffe succeeded. There was also the remix version of the song, which I kind of liked. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. It was fine. It's probably better than I could do, but could just compared to the rest of the talent, I do think that the giraffe should have been unmasked.
Yeah, I agree. I 100% agree. And here's the thing. I also do think that the singing portion of the giraffe is good and will prove to probably be something that gets the giraffe even further down the line. But because of the fact that the giraffe went with a rap, like I pulled a chunk of this on the soundboard to play, but it sounds like we've been having difficulty with it, so I'm not going to play it. But the giraffe is off key in the rapping, and if we're going one for one with rapping, the dragon did phenomenal and we'll get there. So I'm obviously frustrated about this result, but you know, in the interest of keeping the podcast moving and not me just digging my heels and crying like a baby, we can move into what the judges were saying about it. And
crying like a baby alien.
Well, we all will be crying once the baby alien comes through, because that thing is creepy. So when asked about what did they ever think there would be a giraffe, the giraffe said it gives them anonymity, which is nice, and it gives them a chance to not just be about their vocal. Okay. Now here's where I think the giraffe kind of saves themselves too. is when Ken Jeong does the weird and strange Garth Brooks, Chris Gaines guess, and the giraffe is acting up like the giraffe's exhausted and doesn't want to deal with this, and it's stupid. I think that helped the giraffe. I think I'm calling shenanigans. I think that the off-song stuff helped the giraffe here.
I mean, maybe. I think that's definitely a possibility. I think maybe there's something with the at-home audience voting or something, too, that, look, I don't know. I have my personal feelings from what we saw on the actual episode, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's fine. Maybe I'm just too salty about it. But as far as guessing who this goes, my guess, I'm going to be open about this one because one of the judges guessed it. So I feel like it's out there already. But my guess, my sealed envelope is Vanilla Ice. And I thought that while the performance was happening. So before Robin Thicke even said it out loud, I said it out loud to you. So you've also heard it. And like, here's the thing. It's because there's a bunch of different things going on here. I think the whole like getting ridiculed and taking a risk and being ridiculed for it. I think obviously we know that Vanilla Ice is someone who is not, you know, we know is one song. White Tiger certainly knew that one song and beat it to death in one fell swoop. But I think that, you know, he starts as a rapper and then he had the problems and he had the whole like, you know, lawsuit with the music from Queen and then. Yeah, it was under pressure, right? Yeah. And then, you know, he's out of things. And now, you know, the hard work, towering success. I know that he's on the like the home network or whatever. Like he does like he's like a contractor now. He does like home building. So, you know, you're making a tower in some way there potentially. And the whole that's a rap thing. Like this is someone who likes to think of themselves as a rapper to me, but isn't that great. So. It's a short list already, but I think Vanilla Ice kind of would sound the way the giraffe did for me.
Okay, so I think Vanilla Ice is taller because even though the giraffe is the tallest costume that they've ever had on The Masked Singer, you can look at where he holds the microphone and it's definitely like low on the neck. So I don't necessarily think that it could be Vanilla Ice. All right. So I'm actually really excited about this. Remember, I've been up since 5 a.m. So I've been like doing a lot of thoughts on this. Okay. The knot tied up in knots. I was in knots. I started thinking about, okay, wait. Hold on. Let me reset. So I love the concept of, I think that the fact that they got ridiculed, like they were the butt of the joke. Mm-hmm. So I think that this is someone who is a singer, is a performer, but is like made fun of, like the Chad Kroger of the white boy singing, rapping, whatever world, right? Like people make fun of Nickelback all the time. I don't necessarily think that it's Chad Kroger, but I think it's Chad Kroger adjacent. Okay. So I'm just going to start off by saying
Chad
that, right?
Kroger adjacent.
So, yeah. It's Chad Kroger adjacent in terms of the fact that he gets made fun of. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I started thinking because I think it's someone. Based on the I was in knots, like a band similar to like Slipknot, for example. So the Insane Clown Posse.
No. Okay. What?
Because it's also they were at a carnival. There's clowns at carnivals.
Oh my God. You know what?
I'm not mad at this. The only that I couldn't name a single Insane Clown Posse person.
So you're just so I'm clear, your envelope isn't going to say ICPP, right?
So anyway, I think it's someone like it, someone from like Linkin Park or like Limp Bizkit. Like I just feel like it's who gets ridiculed in that world apart from the Insane Clown Posse? Does Slipknot get made fun of? I feel like no. I feel like the fans of Slipknot get made fun of. Is that wrong?
The fans of Slipknot? I can't recall. I feel like Slipknot was one of like the top five band tees that you would see someone wearing growing up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't know. See, the thing is, I'm with you. Although like the whole Insane Clown Posse guess is not, I'm not mad at it because all the guesses lead that way. But I'm thinking back to like I took a risk and was ridiculed. And then now they have towering success. And it's someone we should know the name of at least, right?
Oh, someone they have. They have towering success now.
Yeah. They said through hard work, I've had towering success, which To me, at the very least, is if they're not like having the biggest peak success of their life now, at the very least, they're to a point where we will know them and we will know of their successes.
Yeah. Okay. But what if the drumming thing also makes me feel like, oh, maybe they were the drummer and then they tried to sing and do their own music. And then that was not successful, that they were like made fun of.
Yeah. Like the Travis Barker guess was not a bad one, I would say. Like a good, like out of somewhere. Jenny brought that up, I think. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're onto something, that this could be like someone in a band. I wouldn't be surprised about that. Is there anyone from like Panic at the Disco who's like kind of not good and like tried to solo, but they don't work out?
No, not from Panic at the Disco, because that's just what's his face, Brandon Urie. And he's essentially the core of Panic at the Disco. And then like all the other musicians just sort of like filtering around him. So it's definitely not him. What about like, oh, what about Good Charlotte? Do you think it's someone from? No, I don't think it definitely doesn't sound like someone from Good Charlotte. But that's like again, Madden? Like that's sort of the vein. I was thinking a little bit more intense, like Slipknot. I don't know if intense is the right word, but like Slipknot, or, you know, I don't know, like Korn, or so, like something like that. Puddle of Mud. I don't know. I don't think it would be from Disturbed. That guy with the, he's like,
oh, wow, guy.
That guy, you know, that guy.
Down with the Joel sickness Madden. Guy. Joel Madden's from Good Charlotte.
No, from Good Charlotte. Sorry. I had already moved on. But the voice just doesn't sound right. Who's the guitar player? Or the drummer, Dean Butterworth.
Yeah, it's not that, not with that name.
I think it's someone that we know the name of.
Yeah, I
agree
think
with
so
that.
Too. So
this is going to be bothering me. I'm going to be like continuing to look up stuff about this for a long time.
Yeah. Well, and like, let's be clear. You have a envelope guess ready for this one.
Yeah, I have a guess.
Okay, good. I'm curious. Again, this is someone who I don't feel that strongly about, especially since one of the judges had brought up his name, but we'll see where it goes from here. If the giraffe's in the final two of this bunch, I'm going to be mad. So just keep an eye out for my anger throughout this journey, please. And Liana, keep me sane.
If they continue to make it further.
Yeah, because honestly, like I pulled a clip of the rapping. It sounds like what's it called? They call it the remainder because it's the number that remains. It sounds like that guy. Yeah. And I'm like, that's not good. Yeah, it's fine. You know what? Why don't we, before we get any further, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Hey, welcome to IKEA, where even this desk is circular.
Huh, how so? Looks pretty rectangular to me.
It's because we're always looking to repair, reuse, and relove our products, like buying back your IKEA items for store credit, or shop our as-is section for great deals. You can even order free spare parts. Get on the circular path for a more sustainable future.
Still a rectangle.
Get started at ikea-usa.com/circular. Visit ikea-usa.com/circular for as-is information and buyback and resale terms and conditions. Spare parts not available for all products.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back, like a popcorn kernel stuck in your teeth in the back. Okay, time to talk about the popcorn, Liana. And the popcorn's an interesting one. As you know, this is someone I drafted late in the draft. So I was excited to see popcorn make their entrance onto the stage. And I am very intrigued about this clue package. Can you run us through it?
Oh, sure. Okay, yeah. So this was all about New York City. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the snacks in the city reference, although I don't think it's anyone from Sex and the City. This was just all about like NYC, NYC, NYC. We got Broadway references. She also talked about having a career around love. There was a visual clue of meatloaf, an apple, and a snake, I think, which was super weird. This is also where we got the Proud Mary go round, which, yeah, again, I think is like tangentially related to Tina Turner, but I don't think is show, like, tells us that it's Tina Turner. The other weird audio clue that I picked up in was when she said Russian, like rushing, but it was definitely Russian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's someone Russian, but maybe they performed in a Broadway show that is related to Russia in some way. But like I said, I think this is someone from Broadway. I think this is someone who's like all about New York City.
I also think it's someone that's all about New York City. I have a pick locked in now. And let me just tell you this. Initially, I thought we heard the performance. So the popcorn came through and sang What About Us by Pink. And it was pretty phenomenal. A lot of the focus was on the singing. The weirdest part of that performance was the question mark dancers. Like, literally, it was dancers in bodysuits with, like, a question mark on the head and in the penis. Or in the groin, sorry.
Oh, my.
Well, it literally, there was a question mark in the genitalia region and in the head region. So, that's the thing that happened. And then the background had, like, popcorn popping, which was cool. And I thought the vocals were pretty great. Not the best, but pretty darn great. So, because in the rewatch, I was like, oh, this isn't as great as I thought it was vocally. It solidified a guess I had while watching the clue package. And let me tell you, a lot of it was leaning that way, Liana.
Maybe we should just say our guesses. I want to know who your guesses are.
Do you want to know who my guess is?
Yeah.
It's New York. It's Tiffany New York Pollard.
No.
Yes. Yes. No, yes. Yes, yes.
No. No. No, no. Are you kidding me?
Look at all those. Look at the clue package once more time. There's literally a picture.
That is not her voice.
Do you know how she sounds singing?
Yes.
Do you know that? Did you know that she's been having vocal training for the last 4 years?
Okay, no.
Okay, well, neither do I. That's not a fact. I'm just, you know.
You made that up?
Yeah. You just got to say it with conviction and it comes true. No, there's literally a photo of, you know, the whole I was with royalty, and there's a photo of the popcorn sitting next to someone in a crown and a cape and like holding a thing that could very easily be Flavor Flav. Yeah. And like the whole, from the minute we were in New York, I was like, that's a little bit, you know, a vibe. And then there's a picture, like there's a animated part where the popcorn is walking in like a back garden that looks awfully similar to Flavor Flav's backyard. So here's the thing. I'm locking this guess in because if it's this, it's big brain for me and it's incredible. That being said, I also, my initial guess was the same as someone on the panel in Mary J. Blige, but I'm starting to fall off of that. I started falling off of that a little bit. And then on the rewatch, I was like, I'm locking in Tiffany just for the LOLs and for the fact that the clue package very much leans that way.
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea who this could be. Again, I narrowed down, like, I really, really, really strongly believe that this is someone who's performed on Broadway. And I think that there's enough to kind of pick out around here. I'm just not, I really don't have a strong, like, I have a, I just really don't have a strong feeling on who this could be.
Well, I gave my guess, give yours for this one. I'm curious now.
No, it's locked up in the vault.
How come mine got to be revealed then?
Because I peer pressured you.
It's cheating. Okay, that's fine.
No, I wrote down, look, my vault, because this is before I like did all this research and stuff, but like I have Mary J. Blige written down, but I like know that that's wrong.
Yeah, well, like that's what I said while we were watching. I was like, I think it's Mary J. Blige, but then, you know, the more and more we got it, we thought about it, and the judges' guesses came through, I felt like I've already felt a little bit off on that decision. But then, because like then when asked about the why are you the popcorn or what makes you the popcorn, whatever Nick asked, the popcorn said, I can be very salty, very sweet. I just want to kiss Nick. I can only imagine Tiffany talking like that. Like, and I tried. Listen, when I thought of this, I tried looking for some kind of vocal sampling of her singing and I couldn't find it. So either that's for good reason or it's a secret that we're going to find out now.
She sang on Flavor of Love when they did the competition where they all, it was like sight, heat, sound. What? Do you remember that one?
It was on
Flavor of Love and it was, she fell down when she was doing the sight one. Remember?
Was she
it
good
was
at
sight,
singing?
Sound, touch, taste. I mean, she was fine.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I think she could have
no,
been fine.
But this
maybe
is
she
like
trained
solid.
And got better.
I think it's someone older than her also.
Listen, for me, it's either Mary J. Blige, or also because of the merry-go-round, Mary J. Blige was the first like solidified guest. It's either Mary J. Blige or Tiffany Pollard. Okay, let's just go with that.
Oh my God. Okay, well, that's wrong.
We're going to both be wrong then. I'm okay with that. It's definitely not Carole Baskin. So at the very least, we've improved upon Ken Jeong.
We did better than Ken.
Yeah. For every time that we do better than Ken, we should remember that we're better than literally 25% of the judging panel on The Masked Singer, at least.
It's true.
Yeah. So is there anything else you have left, like a kernel stuck in your teeth about this whole thing? Or should we move forward?
It would have made sense if you were transitioning to like the cow costume. But no, I flossed. I'm good to go.
Oh, did I moo that loud? Okay. Well, get ready for some hot fire breathing from a dragon, because it's the dragon coming out. And the dragon's strengths are extremely rare. And then the weakness is bad breath. And they come out to burning down the house. Love that tune. Immediately, I was feeling the hype on this one, Liana. And we get to the clue package. It's an MTV Cribs style parody called Layers. And the clues talk about dressing up isn't new to me. And there's a fire breathing stopwatch, which I can explain the clues now because we know who it is. My fire was dangerous. I got a tip that helped me calm down and switch gears. So all this said, then we get the performance. The first lines uttered, don't call it a comeback. And I knew who this was.
Okay, can I give you my guess who I thought it was before the music started? Because before it started, I thought it was an athlete, just based on all of the clues and whatnot. And then based on the costumes, I thought it was Cam Newton. because he like has all those crazy outfits that he would wear to press conferences and stuff, and like his ridiculous hats. And then, you know, I don't know, it like kind of made sense. I don't know how the Statue of Liberty factored into that clue. I'd have to go look at where Cam Newton has played previously, because obviously he played for the Panthers, but I don't know like where he went to college. Oh no, he went to Auburn. Never mind. Anyway, whatever. It didn't make sense. But yeah, as soon as the rap started, I was like, oh no, this is clearly a rapper. This is definitely not an athlete, even though the dragon is a very big dude. But Busta Rhymes is also a very big dude, so it totally fits.
Yes. So Liana can attest to this. Literally 5 seconds and I was like, it's Busta Rhymes. And the reason for this is because I consider Busta to be one of my top three rappers of all time. I love Busta Rhymes. I've listened to so much Busta Rhymes. This was a very quick guess for me. And so as you can tell, I was upset about the elimination for obvious reason. This is one of my favorites right here. So my whole thing in the preseason was that I think that this is a rapper because of the hip hop hands. I feel vindicated. I'm very happy that I got that right. And then,
yeah, that should definitely be a reason why you get a point anyway. Like the fact that you thought it was a rapper just solely based on the preview, that's really impressive.
Thank you, Liana. You're too good to me, but I also, I'll take the point. I think I'm going to need it. So I'll take it. So the one clue I want to like talk about, the two clues, actually, the dressing up isn't new to me. So if you've watched Busta Rhymes' music videos, he wears the most outlandish stuff all the time. He's always out there. He's doing something like ridiculous. I love it. And then the stopwatch thing, I could tell that was a misdirect to be an athlete. That's because he's one of the fastest lyricists of all time. He's up there. Twista is up there. There's not many that can do it to that flow, to that speed. So that's what that was in reference to. But I thought this was an incredible rendition of Mama Said Knock You Out. I get that it was very obvious it was Busta, but the fiery background was great. The energy was there. I love the blue flames and the red flames in the background. Like, this performance hyped me the F up.
That was my concern for the dragon. Like, the performance was fun, but I think the fact that it was so obvious for not only you, but for Nicole and for Robin as well, that it was essentially first five words, you could tell who it was, which sucks because it felt like this was a decision that was made based on the fact of how guessable the person was. And it was the same thing with the robot in season 3. And that's kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, because like, here's the thing. On this podcast, we've discussed in depth at this point the singing performance versus the razzle dazzle, like which one's the more important feature to have and blah, blah, blah. What I feel like is unfair is just because it's an obvious person doesn't mean you should be plucking them out, because I think it's nonsense. I think it was obvious that it was Gronk, and we still kept the dude till like the final nine. So
yeah, that's true. That's a good point. And Patty LaBelle also, I feel like, in the same way.
Yeah, like, right? The judges, like, people guessed him immediately.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that's nonsense. I would have loved to see, you know, Busta come out and try and do a ballad next week. That would have been hilarious. Like, I feel like that was a missed opportunity, especially because, you know, even if it's like, oh, it was obvious it was him, let's go rap for rap. And he beats the giraffe last night. He does.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think a lot of people agree with you.
Yeah. So I'm just mad, Liana. I wanted my rapper there.
So, okay. So a little insight. Puya, it was later in the evening, and I think you had like forgotten that the Masked Singer had happened, and I like brought it back up, and you got reset. It was hilarious. Because you were so mopey about the whole thing.
Yeah, well, it was like, I don't remember what we were watching, and then you were like, yeah, just like DMX. And I was like, why are you bringing up the Masked Singer again? We moved past it.
Why are you unmasking my pain from earlier?
Honestly, yeah, it wasn't great. This morning, even, I kind of woke up feeling bummy. And like, that's the thing, is that I've never really felt like this about the show yet. So the fact that this feeling happened in season four, I was like, this is a foreign feeling to me. But the judges, Jenny went with DMX, which was not a bad guess. The thing is, DMX and Exhibit were like immediately popping out as well, especially with the MTV Cribs thing and the fact that Exhibit was, you know, extensively doing stuff for MTV at the time. And then DMX, it was like a dog adjacent clue, but you got to understand that they were direct links to the clue package. Busta wasn't. So that's why I'm looking at Frozen and I'm like, it can't be anyone that's related to Frozen. But it's got to be within the Disney world. More confirmed now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's kind of all I have on the dragon. I feel like I don't want to keep, you know, belaboring my sadness. So I feel like we should move on. Yeah, because I mean, we can't even be like, well, what was your vaulted guess? We already know who this is. So, mm-hmm.
Well, did you get a hoot out of our next contestants?
That Nailed depends. It. I don't know who the next contestant is.
Oh, man. Robin standing up and being like, I know exactly who this
I'm
is.
I'm so
actually
bummed.
Kind of funny because it was a reference to Ken also, which I appreciated. It was like multi-layered.
Well, yeah, because like, look.
I know exactly who this is.
I pulled it for the soundboard and you can't hear it, but I just played it for the audience. Like,
oh yeah, I can't hear it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with this. I'll figure it out for next time. But yeah, this was one of the four things that I was like, I need to pull this out, because I thought that was hilarious as well, even though like it's kind of like lowbrow, but you know, I liked it.
I don't think it's lowbrow.
It's
low-hanging fruit for sure.
That's probably what I meant. Because what does lowbrow mean?
Like more like potty humor. Kind of stuff.
Okay, well, no, it wasn't potty humor, but it was like just like an obvious thing to do.
Yeah, like yeah, it's obvious, but like lowbrow, like not this is what I googled it, not highly intellectual or cultured.
Yeah, I so think maybe. That's lowbrow. Yeah,
I don't know, it's just more like low hanging. It's still a pun.
Barely.
Puns lowbrow. It was making fun of Ken Jeong, which is a win in my book.
Okay. Well, you know what else was I can't call it a win. So, you know what else happened? The Owl performed. So, first of all, you have to walk me through this clue package, because when I tell you that I have no idea and that my guess is a complete duo shot in the dark is an understatement. So, can you walk us through the clue package here?
All right. So, Haven't Seen Us Together in a While is part of the clue package. So that makes me feel like it was a duo that worked together, then sort of took a break either from working with each other or a break from the spotlight. Mm-hmm. And then now they're back together performing. There's definitely something related to Christmas, because there was some sort of like weird Christmas reference at the end. Their clue package was by far the most confusing, because I had a really hard time picking out what I thought the legitimate clues were versus what was just owl puns. fans. The biggest thing that stood out to me was that it seems like the male Snow Owl is the comedian of the group. And that also happens later when they're performing on stage. Like, I'll do anything for a laugh is one of the comments in the clue package. And then the male is like pecking it at Nick later on. There was also an image of a red rose. So I don't know if this is like people from The Bachelor, maybe. But then the biggest thing was there were street signs, Magnolia and Coral Canyon.
Right.
I don't know exactly what that means yet, but I think we have maybe one more episode of them to try to figure this out.
Yeah. And I think one episode is where my qualms are when I wasn't willing to say this was a win. This costume is flawed. This costume just, it is flawed. It's a nice gimmick, but there was just something missing from their performance. And the fact that they can't leave that egg is a problem for me. I don't like that. And, you know, Sophie asked this question. Due to the fact that they are literally confined in an egg, do you guys think that the Snow Owls will be able to compensate for lack of razzle dazzle? I think not. I think that they're going to be stuck doing ballady songs and without anything else to help them, without them moving. I think they're going to be in for a hard time, especially because one half of them isn't that good of a singer either. So I don't know what the timeline is for the Snow Owls. It's a fun concept, but definitely in the future, they should consider not having them confined in an egg.
Let me just like give my thoughts on their performance as a whole, because it definitely fits into this question. So they perform Say Something by A Great Big World, which makes sense. It's their first song. They're going to do a ballad. I thought they were decent singers, but they're probably not famous for being singers because I didn't think that they were strong enough. I think the female singer is stronger than the male singer. So I think that that's definitely going to hold them down. But I 100% agree with you. I have written in all caps, let them out of the egg, free the Snow Owls, because not only are they confined to the egg, but you can only see them from like the upper chest up. So yeah. You really, in terms of the movement, you can't get that much. It's like they faced each other, they turned away. They faced each other. They turned away. The male Snow Owl kind of like stuck his arm wing out for a little bit. But really, even then, it's an awkward angle because the height of the Fabergé egg is so high. They didn't move at all. Terrible. Like, I mean, the performance itself was like, it was fine. But I totally get where this is coming from, because I just feel like if they're going to be trapped in this egg every single episode, no backup dancers can make up for them just being trapped from essentially only being able to see the, you know, the upper chest up. Anyway, I have very strong feelings about this. I think this was a bad call. Let them out of the egg.
Yeah, free the Snow Owls, because honestly, they're not long for this world, especially when we've talked about how this is the type of show where it's all encompassing. You got to have all the facets, or as much of all the facets as you can have. The fact that they have zero mobility really makes it hard for them to shine outside of singing, which is very...
My only hope is that they let them out next week. And this was like, okay, we're, you know, because you need to show progression, right? You need to like start with them being trapped. And then maybe next week they're going to let them out and they'll be able to move around a little. Just because if it's this over and over again, I think that it's going to get stale.
I think so too. That's what I'm saying. I really do think so. Because here's the thing. Even if they choose not to do a ballad next week, or not next week, but the next time they're on, I think there's no way they're going to get away with doing a non-ballad song stuck next to each other. Like, could you imagine them doing Jump, Jump by Criss Cross within the egg where they can't move? Like, it's not the same hype. The hype is not there.
Yeah, but they could jump up and down. And then you can see them jump up and down. They can't go like side to side. So yeah. Any dance move, like the electric slide is out.
They can't moonwalk unless the egg moonwalk. Rolls with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Well, even then you would, oh my God, that's the best gag ever. Have them moonwalk. But then like you can't see it. So like,
wait, what are they doing? I liked when you went to the right of the stage. No, we moonwalked there. You just didn't see it.
Yeah, we were moonwalking. I'm sorry. You didn't see our good dance skills.
So as far as the judges went, Jenny and Nicole both kind of co-signed Donnie and Marie. And then Ken Jeong won with Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara. Robin Thicke one with Amy Grant, Vince Gill. These were not on my radar. Although if we get Eugene Levy on The Masked Singer, I'd be very happy.
Mm-hmm. So I think that I have two thoughts. So first of all, I think this is a brother sister duo.
Are you
regardless?
Sure?
Yes, I think it's brother. I really think it's brother sister. I don't think it's another. I just really get the brother sister feeling from their dynamic and from the clue package. So I very much feel like it's brother sister. Now, the thing I don't know is whether or not this is a real life brother and sister or they played brother and sister on a TV show. I'm mm-hmm. leaning towards the former because their voices go together quite well. Uh-huh. And that's typically what happens with siblings, is that like my sister, my mom and I can all sing pretty well and like harmonize together with one another because I don't know, our voices just go well. We're related. I don't know. It makes sense. Science.
Yeah, what a flex.
So that's why I feel like it's brother and sister. So did a little bit of digging and I looked up the 20 best sibling duos of all time ranked. Okay. This is on ranker.com.
Can you like list off some of these?
Yes. Venus and Serena Williams.
Okay. Yep.
Nope. Not that.
Pass.
Wilbur and Orville Wright. So okay. Not them.
No, so this song did make me want to take flight. So.
They are the Snow Owls. Okay, so maybe that makes sense. Okay, so this list I scrapped because it was clearly nonsense. And also, I wanted brother-sister pairs specifically. So I found another article that outlines a few brother-sister pairs. I think some are more likely than others. Like, for example, Jason and Justine Bateman are on here. I really don't think it's them necessarily. But there were a few pairs that, like, maybe it could be. Do you know Jussie and Jereen, I think is how you say her name, Smollett? I knew Jussie Smollett from Empire, yes. But I didn't know his sister. So like maybe it could be them. Another pair I think it could be is Julianne and Derek Hoog, whatever. How do you say that?
Yeah,
name?
Yeah. It's H-O-U-G-E.
Yeah, H-O-U-G-H.
Yeah. Hoog. It's not going to be Jussie Smollett because I'm pretty sure he's got some stuff going on right now.
Yeah, but he was on Empire.
Yeah, but he's also got some controversy right now.
Oh, really? Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Right? With the thing in Chicago. That's him,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Ooh, Chile. Okay, yeah. It's definitely not him. Okay, so let's go back to the Julianne and Derek. So he was in Nashville, which is a singing show.
That's true.
Was in a remake of Footloose, which is singing. So they could definitely be on the table. Mm-hmm. Another brother sister on this list was Maggie and Jake Gyllenhaal, but I think they're probably too famous for The Masked Singer. So I'm just going to go ahead and write them off.
Didn't they say that someone was nominated for one of the major awards?
They've both received a nomination. So that would be two people though, right? Is it one person has been nominated or like our contestants have been nominated?
Here's the honest to goodness truth is that they could very well be like, well, they're technically one contestant. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I could definitely see that being the case.
Yeah.
Okay. What is Ray J up to? What if it's Brandy and Ray J? No, they're better singers.
They're
than that.
Siblings?
Okay, it's not them. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. You didn't know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they had a reality TV show together on VH1.
Again.
It was like a family of business or a family something.
No, well, here's the thing. I don't think it's them. I think Brandy's way better of a singer than whatever the one half of the Snow Owls was. So
yeah, no, I agree. I think they're better singers. Anyway, I'm not sure, but I really do think that they're biologically related.
Okay, well, the Derek Hugh guy, ugh. However you're pronouncing it. he is currently the judge on one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars.
Huh. There is a lot of crossover at Dancing with the Stars, so maybe. Although that would be weird to put two people who can dance in a freaking egg and not let them out.
Right. That would be, I feel like that would be just hot mess negligence. I wouldn't like that. Here's the thing. I could have maybe seen the sibling thing. I think that there was an oh brother line that was kind of there. I think the oh brother is not supposed to be taken as a sibling thing. I think that's a character that says oh brother on some TV show. I feel like that's a very sitcom-y line to say. So that's the direction I took my talents was, let me look at these sitcom pairings. And like the male is like the comedian and they're excited to work together again. So that's a thing. Now, I'm going to reveal my guess because I feel zero confidence in this. And I just want to, like, you know, let people know to, you know, this is what they can expect from me moving forward. So have you heard about a show called Mad About You?
Yes.
I think, my guess is Helen Hunt and what's his name? Paul Reiser. Reisner.
Yeah,
Reiser.
That's wrong.
I don't. Liana, you need to stop shitting on my ideas.
Well, that's what you get for revealing your guesses instead of keeping them in the vault. I ridicule you now instead of later.
I don't care. That's my guess. I don't think it's them, but that's fine.
Oh, brother, as a catchphrase? This isn't Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
No, I just think that their siblings thing is not true. Personally, I think that it was a weird choice. I think Jody, one of our listeners, put out a question of, if the Snow-Offs turn out to be siblings, is it weird that they sang Say Something seemingly to each other in their Fabergé egg? Yes, it's very weird. I don't think they're siblings. I think that would be very strange. So, yeah.
Maybe.
No, at the very best, Liana, they've played siblings on TV. There's no way this is a biological pairing. No way.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, because I really went in thinking that they were genuinely going to be related. Mm-hmm. But I am now more swayed that it could be related as of the TV performance fictional world.
Yeah. I think that's probably more likely at this stage. But I'm fine with it. I don't think they definitely did not jump off the page for me. They're not someone I'm rooting for all that
much.
They
literally can't jump out of their egg.
They need out of the egg. For me, yeah, that egg needs to be split open.
Free them from the egg. Okay, wait. So I want to get your thoughts on who you think is going to come out. Who are the top two from this group that you think are going to make it to the semifinals?
So we're down to four now. We've got yes. Popcorn, Snow Owls, Giraffe, and
Sun.
I think Sun's in the next round. Let's just, okay. Can we agree?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a battle of out of the three, who's going to make it further. And honestly, in looking at them, I feel like I got to imagine there's a little bit more to the Giraffe here. I feel like there's a little bit more. I think the Giraffe might surprise us next week.
This could be like the banana
right
situation.
Exactly. If the Giraffe raps again next week, bin him. Just bin him immediately. But,
come what? Through insane clown posse. It's all of them. They're all in. They're stacked on top of each other in the Giraffe costume.
Like a Vincent adult posse.
Yeah, this is the Vincent adult man of Giraffe costumes.
And then the Snow Owls, I feel like they're going to do the same thing again. The gimmick might get them through the final three. I just don't see a world where they're in the final six. I just don't.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's Sun and Popcorn.
Yeah,
for me.
I think Popcorn is the easy chalkboard stronger second pick here as well.
Yeah, but we've seen with the Masked Singer that not always be the case. I mean, like, we thought that the White Tiger was gone from, like, week to week. We thought that the White Tiger was gone and made it through. So you never know. But the one I feel strongest about is the same one you do, and that is the Rays of the Sun, baby.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the easiest pick here for me. And then, what's it called? Next week, I'm excited about. So, let's see. So, next week's list of characters. You have it ready? Open in front of you?
Yes. So, I'm so happy that they're going back to this format where we get to see Group A, Group B, Group C, versus, like, three episodes all of Group A.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah?
No, I'm very happy about it as well.
Yeah. I think it'll be more fun this way. But Group B is going to be, they had to break it up this way for some unknown, I'm sure, production reason. But essentially, we have a group of five, a group of six, a group of five. So Group B is our group of six. And that is the crocodile, the whatchamacallit, the gremlin, the baby alien, the serpent, and the seahorse.
I'm
also really looking forward to this group.
Yeah, I feel like, again, we have no reason to think this is a strong group, but for me, this has most of the people I like. So I would hope that the baby alien just sucks and leaves. but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, if the baby alien really is the gimmick of the season, the baby alien goes first. Like, that's definitely something I could see. I'm holding out for my girl Seahorse, although I'm worried that the sun was the seahorse, if that makes any sense at all. Of this season. A sentence I never thought I'd say. I think the sun is the seahorse of this season. But the serpent, I'm excited for also, because we're going to get the moving tentacles, I hope, which again makes no sense for a snake. Why it has, you know, like seven tails, fine, whatever. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to next week. I think solid episode overall, and I think this season's going to be fun.
I think so too. I genuinely think that we're in for a good time. Everything's been exciting so far. There's a new format in here. Like, well, there's a new format in the sense that there's a new trophy out here with the golden ear. But then also, I'm happy they've listened to us and gone back to groups A, B, and C in rotation. And we're not just getting beat to death with one group all the way to like its core. And then, because like that was the hardest thing, was literally watching White Tiger 3 weeks straight survive. It was just so brutal. So yeah. I'm happy that's not the case. This is seemingly going to be a quicker turnaround, I think, than the other season. So we'll see. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Now, Liana, we have two options here. We have a couple of questions we can answer, or we can go quickly and talk about I Can See Your Voice, which we watched after this.
No. Let's do the questions, and then we'll wrap up all the Masked Singer stuff before I get to complain about So I Think I Can See Your Voice.
Yeah, I love that you keep adding the So I Think into it. Like, that's going to rebrand it.
I keep thinking that that's legitimately what the title is, so it's fine.
So Don asked, is this the strongest starting group of any season so far, and who is your favorite from this group? I think we both can agree that the sun is our favorite from this group.
Yeah, the sun is definitely my favorite from this group. I think I'd have to go back and look at the other starting groups from the Masked Singer. I think, you know, season one, it was the first time they were doing it, so I think that group was probably not the strongest. What was the group from season two that we got the opener? Because I don't think it's season three, because season three had the White Tiger in it, and I'm sorry, just any group with the White Tiger in it.
Season one had that guy, the hippo, in it, right? So season one had Peacock, Hippo, Monster, Unicorn, Deer, and Lion. That's actually a great group.
Well, it's about 50-50, I think, in terms of...
Well, Hippo is awful, and then the Deer was meh.
Yes. All right. So week two, and also Tori Spelling wasn't great. All right.
But Tori Spelling won her matchup, though.
Which is still complete BS, and I'm still mad about it. I have my little monster plushie here. That's unbelievable. If we're going to talk about memories that are just emblazoned in my mind, Peacock singing is one, and then when the monster lost to the unicorn, I remember tweeting something along the lines of like, I'm so shocked that the blah 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 whatever, and then I was like, I can't believe this is something I wrote, and here we are however many years later talking about all this nonsense. Anyway, season two was Butterfly, Egg, Thingamajig, Skeleton were the four.
No, so season two, it was a two-hour special where we had eight performances happen.
Oh yeah, with Ladybug, Rottweiler, Tree, and Ice Cream. That's hard because you have, okay, I think pound for pound, yes, to answer the question, this was the best starting group.
I think so too. I honestly think that it was five performances. It was a good balance of things. Maybe it's where we are in the world and we're just excited to have it back, but it just didn't feel overwhelming and it didn't feel tiresome, and it just came at a good time. I think everything just went for it. So I'm inclined to say this was great. Again, the giraffe can GTFO, but that's fine. We will continue. We'll see what happens with the giraffe next.
Back to the savannah with you.
Let's go to the neck person. Don't ugh my jokes.
Jokes.
Okay. And then one last question here for today. Emily asked, do rappers/choosing to rap set these performers up for a harder time in the beginning elimination rounds? This is my second season watching, and this follows the robot going home first after sort of talk singing. So I picked this question out just to answer it. I do not think that rapping sets the performers up for a harder time, because like the robot. So the robot did Lenny Kravitz. So the robot was a rapper, but then ended up doing a Lenny Kravitz song, was not a rap song. But then I feel like, you know, Bow Wow comes through, the Frog comes through, does a rap right away. And that works to the Frog's benefit. I think it depends on the artist. And I think that if the artist is very good at rapping and is able to give out that good rap energy right off the bat, that should at the very least guarantee them 1 week safety, because that is literally their bread and butter. And if they do it well, they should be fine. So that's why it was shocking to me to see Busta Rhymes come out and just ruin, and by ruin I mean do it really well, the LL Cool J track, and like wreck it to the perfection that I need it to be. And then to go out was just crazy.
Well, that's what I think, because I think that the judging here was, I disagree with, where I feel like it's, I understand the desire to draw parallels, because I definitely had the same thought as well. But then I remembered, like you said, Puya, that the robot did Are You Gonna Go By My Way by Lenny Kravitz, which was just not the correct choice if you want to try to make it further in the show. So I think that there's a lot of differences here. I think Bow Wow is also a classic example of a rapper playing to their strengths and being able to make it deep. And so it's kind of shocking that Busta didn't make it further. But I think that's a byproduct of the fact that his voice is just so distinct.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I think if you had Ja Rule here, you'd have the same problem. You have DMX, you have the same problem. Anyone that's got way too distinctive of a voice was going to be prone to leaving early, no matter how you look at it. And that's just the unfortunate fact. Okay, so that wraps up the Masked Singer talk. Let's quickly peek into the I Can See Your Voice side of things, because people were curious. We watched it so that others wouldn't have to, and we can give our takes here right out the gate. Liana, how did you feel about this? Because you came into the show still not really understanding what the show was going to be like.
Okay, so yes, I was fascinated by what the format of the show is going to be. So let me try to break it down in the best way that I can understand it. So every week, you're going to have a regular person who's competing to win a maximum of $100,000 by trying to guess whether or not people are going to be good singers or bad singers. And they are assisted by a panel of celebrities. So this week we had Nick Lachey was there, Arsenio Hall was there, Adrienne Bailone, but not Bailone, she got married, whatever her new last name is. Anyway, whatever. Not important. So Shannon is the woman who's competing, and she's being helped by this panel of celebrities. And she's trying to guess of six people who is a good or a bad singer. But the six people that she's guessing from, we actually never get to hear them sing until the end when they get revealed. And they also aren't given names. They just go under monikers like The Golfer or The Stylist or The Rock Climber. And the way that she gets to narrow down who is a good or a bad singer is based on a few different things. They get to lip sync to a song. So that's one thing. They get to look into their phone to like look at pictures of them. So the way it works is you have six people. The first thing that they did was the lip sync. So all six of them lip sync to a song, either to their own voice if they were a good singer or to someone else's voice if they were a bad singer. And then Shannon had to eliminate one person and say, nope, I think you're a bad singer. We get the reveal, they are or not a bad singer, and then we continue this process for several rounds until we get to the end. Anyway, it's frustrating because you don't know how many people are going to be good singers versus how many people are going to be bad singers. So of the six people, four of them could be good singers or four of them could be bad singers, and you never know. So then that way, each round when someone gets eliminated, you don't know whether or not they're going to be a good singer or a bad singer. Because if it was like, it's always going to be three good singers or it's always going to be three bad singers. Let's say she eliminates three of the bad singers, and then it's like, well, we know there's only good singers remaining. But like, are they really going to only pick one good singer? Are they really only going to pick one bad singer? So that means it's always going to be like 4-2 or 3-3 in some type of variation. And then it's also stupid because the way that they do the breakdown is like each round when you eliminate someone, if you're correct and they're a bad singer, you get $10,000. But if three of them are good and three of them are bad, at best, you're only going to get $30,000. Because the other ones just, you just can't because they're good singers. I don't know. It's weird, man. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling and I kind of want to watch it more.
No, no, yes! That is not, you can't.
I want to know how it
You cannot sound.
I want to know if they're going to do it. I want to know if they're going to do it where they only have one good singer. And then that way she like they like eliminate all the bad singers. And there's only one good singer at the end. I don't know. I don't know. Fascinating. No.
This was, again, let me preface this by saying this is coming from the same person, Liana Boris, who watched that Ultimate Tag show and was into it. Okay. So do not take her word for gospel. Liana's reality TV taste can be very good to very bad. That's the spectrum. No, this was dull. This was so boring. Like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be the golfer who's the bad singer. I don't know. And then Arsenio's sitting there as if he's going to have intel. And he's like, yo, that's a good point. I think that's not a singer. It's like, what do I care what you think, Arsenio? Get out of here. And then the whole thing, the whole premise of the show is, you know, you can tell who a good singer is without hearing them sing. Okay. The challenges were like this. The first challenge was lip syncing. That's fine. Okay. Then the next challenge was, here's like a social media bite of theirs. Can you tell if they're a good singer based off this? Or then there was an interrogation round. Like, this is basically people watching, but if someone else is doing the people watching and you have to watch them people watch, but you can't control what they're thinking. It's frustrating.
It's like The Voice, but in reverse. It's like you only get to see them.
Yeah, and you can't tell if they're going to be good singers or not. And like when the bad singers revealed, because like after every round, someone has to sing because they're like the one eliminated. And it feels like the bad singers were told, hey, sing to your worst abilities, because they were all like, it's 12 pitches worse than what I think they actually are. But they were told to force their worst version of themselves.
Yeah, the bad singers definitely exaggerated the bad singing. Show.
This might be like, this was the most tame I've ever seen Ken Jeong, because he's hosting. So that's a thing. Maybe
he
positive.
Kept saying this thing. So, okay. So the whole point of the first, okay, wait. So maybe I didn't make this clear. So there's a total of 6 rounds. The first 5 rounds, you're trying to find the bad singers. And then the last round, you want to be left with a good singer. Okay. So the way that Ken Jeong, when he's like setting up each of the rounds, he's like, okay, bad is good. Good is bad, because you want to find a bad singer. So if it's bad, it's good. If it's good, it's bad. It was so stupid.
Yet you say you want to watch it again.
I do kind of want to watch it again. I also feel like certain panelists did better than others. I feel like Adrian did a really great job. Cheryl Hines was also there. I think she did a really great job. Kelly Osbourne was there. She did a great job. The guys were a little useless. Nick Lachey did okay, because he like got vindicated on the first one. He thought somebody was a good singer and everybody else thought they were a bad singer. They turned out to be a good singer. I'm kind of curious. I'm just curious. Look, it's not even so much about watching the show to be entertained. I just want to know the logistics of how they're going to do the singers. Are they genuinely going to like go up there and be like, 5 of them are good singers and only one of them's the bad singer? Because then that's stupid, because then it ends up being like, oh, they're all good singers. I don't know. Maybe it's like somebody needs to run the math on this. Okay. And also in terms of like how much money you would make. I don't know. I'm fascinated by the concept. The show is dumb. Okay. I just want to say that outright. The show is dumb, but I'm also fascinated by it.
You could be spending that time hanging out with me, but you would rather.
No. Okay. All right. You know what? Actually, as long as someone writes down, maybe the Wikipedia page will have it, because I just need to know how many of each are good or bad singers, so I can get a sense of like the way that the show is structured. This is also based off of a Korean show, I believe, which is the second in the line of Ken Jeong brings a Korean show to the United States, which props to him. He's like the host. He's like the EP of Masked Singer, right?
Is or at he least the EP for the British version, Singer? Anything?
I don't know. I'm sure he is, right? Or like
You're
something.
Sure he is?
No, I don't know for sure. But maybe he'll bring him over to some other shows too. Like, who knows?
I believe the EP is Nick Cannon. Wasn't Nick Cannon the EP of Masked Singer?
I don't know. It just feels like something that Ken would try to like get. Maybe it was for the UK version.
You know, it might have been for the UK. No, you know, let's see. Directed, developed. No, their names aren't here, but I do remember seeing his name on the EP credit somewhere. Nick Cannon's an EP for Masked Singer. Like US.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he's definitely an executive producer for the I Can See Your Voice show. He's like host and executive producer, but I don't know about the other stuff. But anyway, the point is that I think I was hoping for clarity, and I definitely gained clarity in terms of what the overall structure looks like. But now I want to know the deets. So I might want to. Sorry.
Well, your curious mind is going to have you doing something at whatever time it is on. What, 9 p.m. on Wednesday? Yeah.
Actually, I might forget about this because I think I said I was going to watch more Ultimate Tag and I never did. So you can ask me next week and be like, so how was I Think I Can See Your Voice? And I'll be like, what? I don't remember.
Yeah. I mean, also because I have to find the link and set it up for you. So I might just not do that.
I'm very much capable of doing that myself.
We'll see. Spoiler alert. There is no EP credit for one Ken Jeong. So,
okay. So I lied. My bad.
It's okay. We forgive you. But yeah, we're at the end of this journey today for the premiere episode. We got a lot of fun in today. You got some of our envelope guesses. Some of us concealed them closer than others because some of us feel more stupid about our guesses. So we're like, just take them. Just here, take my guesses. But Liana, where can people find you and what are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. I am, of course, podcasting about Big Brother, which we didn't watch the episode of last night. But doing the Saturday morning updates with Taryn and, of course, doing the RHAP B&B. We have Allie Lasher as a guest this week. We had Peridium last week. So really just a cavalcade of stars, of course, similar to The Masked Singer. Definitely check that out. I'm also doing partnering with the charity Super Majority to do a discussion of gender in reality television, followed by a text bank for voting, because the election is super important and Super Majority seeks to promote activism among women when it comes to politics, which is something that I'm super passionate about. So head on to my Twitter at Liana RHAP to get details. You can sign up. I'm with some other people from Rob Has a Podcast as well to do that discussion. And I think it's going to be a really great and informative time.
And you can find me on all social media, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, Queerism for all three. And you can catch me also talking Big Brother, which I still need to catch up on the episode on, over on RHAP, as well as the 90 Day Fiancé Rehab Up right here on the Rehab Ups Network. Just talked about the finale this past week. And going into a 3-part tell-all, which that's going to be interesting to find out more about. So, of course, you can find all of this on the Rehab Ups Network. And please, 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 if you can, leave us a rating and review. It helps immensely. It helps the podcast get found. It helps us get more feedback for what to expect moving forward or what we should be doing moving forward. You can do all of that over on robhasawebsite.com/maskedsinger. One word. So Masked Singer. And yeah, just let us know what you think about the show. And if you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review. That definitely helps. Otherwise, we don't have anything else here for today. Take care, and we'll unmask you next week. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.